Seeing Greg next to him was obvious. Paul waited to see how the board would react to Joanna's less-than-symbolic nomination. Arnold played the meeting for all the drama he could squeeze out of it. He began by asking for a moment of silence to honor the memory of their late president and CEO. As Paul bowed his head, he glanced at Melissa Hart sitting down near the bottom of the table. Silky, smooth, long-legged Melissa, with skin the color of milk chocolate and a fierce passion within her that drove her mercilessly both at work and play. Most board members thought of her as an affirmative action twofer, black and female, or a threefer, since she represented the unions among the corporation's workforce. Paul knew her as a fiery bed partner who was furious with him for dropping her in favor of Joanna. She had been sleeping with Gregory Masterson before Paul, everyone knew. That was how she got on the board of directors, they thought. Now, as Paul glanced her way, she did not look terribly grieved. Instead, she glared angrily at him. Arnold next asked for a vote to accept the minutes of the last meeting, then called for reports from the division heads while the board members fidgeted impatiently in their chairs. When it came to Paul's turn, he gave a perfunctory review of the clipper ship's profits and the firm orders from airlines around the world. Paul referred to them as aerospace lines, even the ones that were not doing any true business in orbit, because the clipper ships spent most of their brief flight times far above the atmosphere. The way to make money, Paul had told every airline executive he had ever wined and dined, is to keep your clipper ships in space more than they're on the ground. Ordinarily, at least a few of the board members would ask nitpicking questions, but everyone wanted to move ahead to the election of the new CEO. Almost everyone. "What's this I hear about your people making giant TV screens up there in the space station?" asked Alan Johansson. He was one of the newest board members, a handsomely vapid young protege of Arnold's, with slicked back blonde hair and the chiseled profile of a professional model. Surprised, Paul said, "It's still in the developmental stage." "Giant TV screens?" asked one of the women. "Under the weightless conditions in orbit," Paul explained, "we can make large crystal flat screens 10-15 feet across, but only a couple of inches thick."
"Why, you could hang them on a wall like a painting, couldn't you?"
"That's right," said Paul. "It might make a very profitable product line for us."
"Wall screens," said Johansson.
One of our bright young technicians came up with the name Window Wall.
"That's good," said Johansson. "We should copyright that name."
Bradley Arnold turned, slightly sour-faced, to the corporate legal counsel. "See that we register that as a trade name."
"Window Wall, right?" said the lawyer. "How do you spell it?"
Paul told him. "Now, before we get to the highlight of this meeting," Arnold said in his rumbling bullfrog voice, "we have to consider filling the seat left vacant by the sudden demise of our lamented late president and CEO." Far from showing grief, Arnold's bulging brown eyes seemed to be sparkling with pleasure. "I nominate Joanna Masterson," said Greg immediately. "Second," came a voice from farther down the table. Then silence. Arnold looked up and down the table. "Any other nominations?" Melissa looked as if she wanted to speak, but before she could make up her mind, Arnold said, "All right, then, the nominations are closed. All in favor?"
"Don't the rules call for a secret ballot?" one of the board members asked.
A brief flicker of annoyance ticked across Arnold's fleshy face. "If the board wants it," he said testily. "In this instance, I think a simple show of hands will do. All in favor?" It was unanimous, Paul saw, although Melissa's was the last hand raised. "Congratulations, Joanna," Arnold said warmly, "and welcome aboard." He pushed himself to his feet and started clapping his hands. The entire board rose and applauded. Joanna remained seated, smiling politely and mouthing thank you to them all. "Now then," Arnold said once they were all seated again, "to the major business of this meeting. Electing the new president and chief executive officer of Masterson Aerospace Corporation."
Paul felt suddenly nervous.
What Joanna was going to do would not only cause a rift in the board, it would shatter her son, who expected to be elected unanimously. And marriage? Paul wondered. "If I don't get elected, will she still want to marry me? Do I really want to marry her?"
This great corporation was founded, as you all know, in the dark years of the Second World War by Elliot Masterson. Arnold was groaning in his sonorous, soporific voice. His son, the first Gregory Masterson, took over at Elliot's retirement. In all his years as an astronaut and then as a corporate executive, the idea of marriage had never entered Paul's mind. Women were plentiful, and there was no time to get hung up over one. Paul was driven by the urge to succeed, not merely to be the best, but to get the others to acknowledge that he was the best. To get to the moon, to make Moonbase viable, to make a success where everyone else said it was impossible. "I never really thought about marriage," Paul was saying to himself. "Maybe it's time to settle down. Enough tail chasing. I haven't really wanted to anyway since I met Joanna. Maybe that means I really love her. But does she love me, or is this just going to be a business deal? Marriage for Moonbase. Some deal." "And now that Gregory Masterson II is no longer among us," Arnold went on, "I believe it is in accord with the finest traditions of this great corporation that we ask his son, Gregory Masterson III, to accept the weighty responsibilities of President and Chief Executive Officer of Masterson Aerospace Corporation."
"Second the nomination."
Paul swiveled his head. Melissa had seconded Greg's nomination with the swiftness of an automaton. That was a surprise. Grinning coyly, Arnold asked, "Any other nominations?"
"I nominate," said Joanna, "Paul Stavanger."
A shockwave flashed along the table. Greg's face went white. He looked as if his mother had just slapped him. Arnold's mouth dropped open.
"Second that," said the man at Paul's left, the corporation's controller.
Arnold blinked several times, looking more like a perplexed frog than ever. Finally, he said in a low, angry voice, "Any other nominations?"
"None."
"Discussion."
Joanna said, "I don't want to give the board the impression that I have no confidence in my son. I simply feel that Paul has earned the right to be CEO. He pushed the Clipper Ship program to its current highly successful status. Without the Clipper Ships, this corporation would be in receivership."
"That's something of an overstatement," Arnold sputtered.
Joanna made a smile for him. "Perhaps. But Paul's shown he can be an effective CEO. My son is young enough to wait a few years. With a little patience, he'll make a fine CEO one day."
Greg said nothing. He glowered at his mother in silent hatred. Paul knew what was irking Arnold. Old Frogface thought that he could control Greg. With Greg as CEO, Arnold would effectively be running the corporation his way. He had no desire to see a strong, independent CEO elected. His face florid, Arnold said to Joanna,
"But this corporation has always had a Masterson at its head. I thought that we all wanted to keep control in the family's hands."
Joanna's smile turned slightly wicked. "Oh, it will be in the family's hands. Paul and I are going to be married."
Greg bolted to his feet so hard he knocked his heavy padded chair over backwards.
"Married?" he shouted. To him?"
Before his mother could reply, Greg pushed past his overturned chair and stamped out of the meeting room, slamming the heavy door as he left. Christ, Paul thought. She hadn't told him anything about this. He's just as shocked as the rest of them.
"I'm afraid," Joanna said calmly, "that Greg allows his emotions to overwhelm him sometimes."
Paul stared at her. She's like an iceberg, he thought. Implacable, unmovable, and cold as ice. The other board members were muttering to one another. Arnold rapped his knuckles on the table to restore order. Paul saw beads of perspiration on the chairman's brow and upper lip. His hairpiece was slightly askew.
"I think, in light of this unexpected turn of events," he said hesitantly, "that we should postpone the election of our new CEO until we have all had a chance to think and consider carefully."
"I disagree," interrupted the controller. He was older than Paul, not as old as Arnold, a trim little man, dapper, always impeccably dressed. With just a trace of an Irish accent, he said, "We all know each other here, and we all know both young Greg and Paul Stavanger.